Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on the World Wide Web. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got a great show coming up for you. But first, we do want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Agency, the law firm of Gordberg and Kimberly, Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare Lady, Miss Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our fantastic listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt when you go and visit these businesses. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So always join in the discussion on Facebook for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we'll be joined by our doc out of the box, veteran Tanya Butler. She'll get us updated on her latest exploits in the South Alabama veterans world. And, of course, Tom's tirade on Old Glory. But first, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by Ms. Corey Gaston from the Waterfront Restaurant in Daphne. Corey, welcome back to SBN, and thank you and your crew for all you do for our veterans, service members, and first responders.
Thank y'all, as always, for having me on the show. Love to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, Corey. It's really exciting to have you on tonight because of some outstanding events that you've got on coming on board here and things that are occurring at the Waterfront Restaurant here this summer. We've had the pleasure of participating in some of them there, especially your bingo. And you've got bingos now every Monday night. Is that true?
Yes, bingo every Monday night from 6 to 7:30, and then we do it all to raise money for a different charity each month. As you know, last month was the South Alabama Veterans Council, and this month we're currently doing Feeding the Gulf Coast, which is near and dear to my heart because my sister works for them, so I'm happy to be able to help her out and all of they do, providing food for all the different food banks,
Kids
organizations, and all that kind of stuff. So,
it's just really unbelievable all that you've done. And a neat thing that you guys did was develop a revenue for the South Alabama Veterans Council, which covers all of our veteran service organizations and companies and organizations that participate in all of our veterans events here on the coast. And you were able to raise about $1,800 over that period of time. And then a couple from the audience stepped up and matched the figure. So that was just really an awesome donation you made to our veterans.
That was mind-blowing when he stood up and he said, I'm going to match the check. So shout out to, you know, all of our great customers who come and support Bingo every week. You know, everyone's doing their little part, and then other people are doing, you know, big, huge things. So.
Well, you know, it's unique to see how that's working, in that we had the veterans, South Alabama Veterans Council meeting yesterday morning, and one of the first donations that they made to was the Green Home, our military home up in Bay Minette for our veterans up there. And they're trying to buy a piano for all of the guys and gals that are there. And it was neat that they were, you know, they took some of that money, passed it on to that organization to help with a donation to them. So that's how all these donations in this charity works with our veterans. Well, very seldom do we absorb all of it ourselves. It's usually passed right on to some other needy service or needy event.
Well, that's wonderful to hear.
Yes. Now, another exciting event is coming on July the 2nd. We're going to have some fireworks. Come on, girl. That's not July 4th. That's July 2nd.
July 2nd. You know, you got to get the party started early. We figure everyone's going to be doing lots of stuff with 4th of July being on a weekend.
Right.
And people will have the day off probably on Friday as the, you know, holiday that they're taking up from their businesses and stuff. So we figured, why not kick it off Thursday night with a great party to start the whole weekend?
There you go. Yes. That is awesome.
So, yeah, we're doing, it's going to be a ticketed event. You can either purchase tickets to sit inside or outside. With your ticket price, everyone with the purchase of their ticket, they're going to get our food, which is going to be a traditional barbecue dinner. We're going to have barbecue chicken, pork, corn, potato salad, Texas toast, green beans, of course, red, white, and blue beignets. Got to have beignets.
Red, white, and blue beignets.
We're going to have two musical acts playing, one outside, one inside. So, you know, for those people who want an outside seat to watch the fireworks, they can purchase a ticket for outside. And for those people who want to enjoy the air conditioning till right up till the end,
right,
they can purchase an inside ticket. And then around 8:20, 8:30, we're going to shoot off a huge fireworks show right there on the bay.
Well, I was talking with Pete and Nick in regards to this, and they said they're bringing a barge in. And,
we had to rent a barge. We've got a pyrotechnic guy who's doing it all for us. So this is a legit fireworks show. We're not going to the stand up on the interstate.
I know.
Pete out there on the dock.
You're not buying it from a lean-to down the road.
Exactly. No.
For the figures that he quoted me that he was having to pay for that, no, it's a professional deal, and you'll be extremely satisfied with the fireworks and all. But I would behoove you to go ahead and get started buying your tickets if you're interested, because the ticket will give you a reservation for a seat. And then, you know, nobody will be able to come in unless you've got that ticket. And you've,
exactly.
You know, but here you go again. The event is to help cover the monies for the tickets, is to help cover some of the cost on it, which Pete and Nick are going to eat it, and you are going to eat a whole bunch of that. But then you're going to make another donation to the South Alabama Veterans Council.
Correct. We're going to be raising money for the South Alabama Veterans Council. That night we'll be doing a split the pot raffle, and then we're going to have a couple of items too to raffle off. So we're going to have lots of good fundraising stuff there for them that night, in addition to just the event itself. So.
All right. Well, that's just going to be an outstanding event. And how do they go about getting their tickets, Corey?
So they can either go to our Facebook page or our Instagram page. There's a link at the top for that. But they can also come to the store and purchase tickets right there in the store.
Awesome. What a great event.
You know, come bring your dad out for brunch this weekend for Father's Day and purchase a ticket for the Bay Bash while you're there.
There you go. That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Corey. Outstanding job as usual. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. You have a good night.
All right. And as always, you can go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, veteran Doc Out of the Box, Dr. Tanya Butler, when we return on the Scuttlebutt Network. You never know what the Doc Out of the Box is going to come up with here, but she's got some outstanding information. And I think she's coming up with a brand new ball game of her own here, and being able to maybe help some people do some things. I know I've had the occasion to utilize her knowledge in some of my old crinking bones. She does such an outstanding job. She's very knowledgeable, and it'll be a pleasure to work with her on this. So we'll be right back with her.
Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired shows are up on podcast at the FM Talk 106.5 app. And Tom's Tirade is up on CastBox.fm if you want to get your blood pressure going. And Tom, just a note for Corey, since they are celebrating on July 2nd, you can pass on to her that was actually the date that the Continental Congress voted and passed the resolution to declare independence. July 4th was when the final document was presented and signed, because there were a few edits that needed to be made.
Cool.
So
that's neat.
John Adams actually figured that July 2nd would be considered Independence Day, but history has made it July 4th. So you can pass that on, that they're actually celebrating on another very important day.
There you go, big buddy. Yeah.
And we've but got to, it's always an honor to be joined on SBN by our very own Doc Out of the Box veteran, Tanya Butler. Doc, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt, and thank you for your service.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be amongst my two favorite Marines.
There you go. And it's neat to have a fellow veteran here. I mean, you've got, 12 years? How many years were you in?
Actually, a total of about 8 years.
8 years? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's longer than my tour anyway.
Yeah.
We appreciate you,
any time in service counts, right?
Right. Yeah, it's right. No matter what you're doing or where they sent you, you don't have any control over that.
Well, we have to remember that, we still live in a country that it's a volunteer service, that you didn't have to do it,
right.
We made a choice so others didn't have to.
Well, that's so true, and we're the one percenters.
We are the one percenters.
Yeah, we are the one percenters, because only, a little bit less than 1% of all the veterans that have served against all of the people of the United States, all the millions of people, we're only like 0.06%.
Yes, and women veterans are even less than that.
I would imagine.
Yes. Yeah. So we make up, it's about 22% of total services.
Right. Well, that being said, I made a statement. It's our flag service we had this past Saturday at the Antique Car Show, was that we keep talking about these 54,000 veterans that died in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about the 9 million that participated in that war?
Yes.
9 million.
Yeah. That's an outstanding number.
It is.
And we never talk about that because, and when it comes to military service, we still have a stigma with veterans about, they're not really a veteran unless they served in combat.
Right.
And people have to remember that, not every veteran, it's a small percentage of veterans who actually go to combat. If we had every veteran go to combat, we would not get paid.
No.
We wouldn't have administration.
No.
We wouldn't have a headquarters that sends us out our orders of what to do. We wouldn't have morale support. There's, you know, there's a job for everything.
Sure.
And
sure.
Not every single person can be on the front line.
Well, I was in a support group during the Vietnam era. I was in that era. I didn't go to Vietnam. But the unit that I was in, we had an atomic warhead and a rocket, you know. And,
yeah.
And who would have thought we had that in the Marine Corps in 1956, 57, 58, during that period of time. But so, and I was there, and I was in that unit. I was the supply chief.
Yeah.
You know, so if they needed us, we were there. And we didn't need to go kill all of ourselves and the rest of the world, too.
No, we
have to prepare for that.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, we are all, you know, in the Army, we say we're all soldiers first. It doesn't matter. That's why we all go through, you know, basic training, combat training, all of that. And that's why no matter what your job is, you have to maintain what we call the common task training. That's, you know, riflery, you know, all of your combat skills.
Sure, sure. You have to be ready to go.
Yeah. No matter what your job was, you had to step into that position
when you get there, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You had to step in because you were at the military's needs when they needed you. And you had a primary job, you know, that you performed, but your job was to protect and defend this country.
Well, I think that being said now, when you were in the military, you had to be just as ready and as available as the Marines, the other veterans were. Everything Marine in my brain.
I know. That's okay. You know, we all need a ride.
But, but anyway, that being said, you had to be prepared. You had to
Absolutely.
Step up. But now since we've come home, I think our Veterans Services Organizations and our VA has dropped the ball on our women. Of service people.
It is absolutely the truth. And we are getting better. You know, I've been in the VA system for a lot of years because of my, you know, my accident on active duty. I had to transition directly out of active duty into the VA services. And when I transitioned into the VA services, at that time, there were no women's clinics. There was one doctor for all women veterans. And it didn't matter what time my appointment was. I could have a 9 o'clock appointment in the morning, I would be there watching the same people leave at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, my Lord.
Because there was only one doctor for us. And we would wait, you know, 6 months to a year for a critical appointment.
Well, you could die before you got the damn doctor appointment.
Which is what happened.
Yeah.
You know, which happened to a lot of people. And, you know, and women, this is why we wouldn't go to the VA. And even now, we have a women's clinic, but the problem is they put all women in the women's clinic. And so we're still backed up on appointments. And we don't get the same care. We don't get the same wellness care that you as a male do. You know, we have a new doctor in the Pensacola VA in the women's clinic, and I have to give her so much credit because she's the first doctor in all the years of being in the VA that has actually fought for us to have hormone therapy. It's a part of the transition of, you know, our physiology of normal well-being, normal life for a woman, for a man, any of that. But we could not get help for any of this in the VA. I had to go pay for concierge doctors outside of the VA just to get hormone testing, just to get hormones so that, you know, I live a healthier life because the research shows that the longer a woman postmenopause goes without hormones, you know, increased osteoporosis, heart disease,
sure,
you know,
all
of the above.
Right.
But why, if our medical care comes from the VA, 100% of, you know, my medical care comes from the VA, why can I not have full wellness care? Why can I not have all of my health and wellness needs taken care of?
You would think in the regular doctors that you go to, they see male and female.
Yes, they do.
Wonder why they wouldn't see a male in a male doctor. I wouldn't see a male in a female at the VA clinic.
Well, I mean,
they're not properly trained or what?
You know, when I first started here in the Mobile Clinic, our GYN doctor was a male. But we still didn't do anything really. You know, it was an annual exam is the best that we got. Outside of that, there was nothing else.
Pitiful, pitiful, pitiful.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're getting there slowly.
Well, you know.
But we need to make better strides.
We do. We need to treat the ladies something better. But, you know what? At least we know what a lady is. I think we've had some problems back over the last
Do not get
years.
Me started there, Tom.
What is a woman? You know what?
You're opening up a can of worms right there.
Hormones?
I think we're making full circle back around.
I think we better drop that.
So, yeah.
But now, look, U.S. Army.
Hey.
251st anniversary.
Yes, Hua.
Y'all are older than us, y'all old people.
We are older than the U.S.
I know.
Because, you know, we started, this is the oldest branch of service in the United States. And it was established in order for us to have the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
So
that's cool.
Yeah. So you can thank us, Marines.
Well, you know, y'all need all the help you can get anyway.
Yeah, you can make fun of us all you want, but, you know, you were an afterthought. Good thing they didn't have the plan B then.
They realized that they needed a real fighting branch of service, so they started the Marines. What the hell can I say?
No, actually, we just needed people to do the things we really didn't want to do.
Okay. You needed grunts.
You didn't have to have an IQ,
IQ. Get the guys with no IQs and make brains out of them and give them a box of crayons and let them go.
Hey, you know, I didn't make the stereotypes, but if they're true.
Mercy. Now, the Army's birthday is what, June 14th?
June 14th, same as Flag Day.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So,
that's so cool.
Yeah, so happy birthday, belated birthday to all my fellow Army veterans. And June 12th was the Women Veterans Day.
Well, we got too many days all on the same day.
Hey, well, no, it was not the same day. June 12th was Women Veterans Day, and it's not a federal holiday. It is actually celebrated, you know, in the states. The states recognize this, and it's not a holiday to divide veterans, but it was, you know, established to recognize the service of women veterans, because most people don't know the history, you know, of women serving in the military. And, you know, it used to be that we were only called up during wartime.
Right.
And
well, that's not true anymore, though.
It's not true anymore. Yeah. We've made huge strides. We're an essential part of every military service. Yet when we come out of the service, we're still excluded.
Yeah, we kicked y'all to the curb.
Right, exactly. And a lot of women veterans still don't identify as a veteran, and we want to change that. We want them to be proud of their service, too.
All right. Thank you, though. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right. And you can always go to our Facebook page for more information on the other side of the break with Dr. Tanya Butler. We'll return on this Kilobyte.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bull can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's Hottest Eatery at the coolest location, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Agency, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And so, Tom, I'm going to jump in here, just a little historical background. I know Dr. Tanya said that, you know, that the Army is older than the Marines, which is absolutely true. Because it was actually because the Navy needed protection while they were on their ships.
Right.
And I'll just leave that out there in terms of why the Navy needed protection. But the Declaration of Independence was really pushed forward by the fact that the Continental Congress had authorized the creation of the Army, and they really didn't have anything to fight for. They were just fighting the British until such time as we had the Declaration of Independence, which said, hey, you know, you guys basically, you know, giving them the number one salute. And that was supposed to embolden Washington and the Continental Army.
Are you just trying to take away the fact that the Army is older than the Marines? Are you mad?
No. I was actually saying
this is great history, Cal. I'm just teasing you.
Yeah. It was actually a motivating factor for the resolution, which was eventually voted on, to create the Declaration of Independence, which was supposed to give, you know, the ragtag army that we were, a reason for fighting,
yes.
And a reason for the colonies to come together.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's great.
It was really the beginning of patriotism.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was, and it was. It's probably the first time that the Army was actually there before the Marines.
I knew you just couldn't take it, could you?
Well, you know, the reason that, you know, we had to, they had
Touché.
To form us also,
yes.
It's because the Navy, you know, had to have somebody to fight for them. I mean, you know, they needed help.
Well, we all needed a taxi, didn't we?
So we made them Uber drivers, and, you know, and we came on board.
And at this point in time, we will equally offend every branch of service, we will love them all just the same.
But, you know, if we didn't, I was talking to...
This is how we show our love.
I was talking to Austin Sidwell yesterday, and he's a Air Force Academy graduate, and he's running for that seat, you know. Political seat, and I told him, Austin, I said, these Air Force guys, I said, I don't see how you even got up to be here this morning. It's 8:30. I'm saying, y'all don't even usually, you know, have reveille till 10 when your butler comes around and wakes you up and tells you that your breakfast is going to be ready, and what would you like to have to
That's
eat
exactly
this morning?
Right. I know. Would you like bonbons with that?
Bonbons.
I know. And we tease them simply because we are all jealous.
Oh, yeah.
We are.
The truth is not coming out.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It is true.
But if we didn't yah-yah each other, then what the heck? But, you
know. I know. And I'm sorry, Coast Guard. We just have nothing to say.
Well, somebody had to take care of our ladies while we were all gone, okay?
And there you have it.
Okay. So let's talk about 365 pain-free, Doc. What in the world is going on here with Dynamic Therapeutics is your company, and you've had this organization for quite a few years and been doing an unbelievable job, especially with, I guess, just about anybody, but I'm more familiar with all the veterans that you have been able to help. But
yes.
Give us a little insight about what is this?
So I'm so excited about this because, you know, as we grow, you know, we're always looking at ways of, you know, of cloning ourselves. And people always say, you know, if you could only clone yourself, what would you do? Well, I've done it. You know, no matter what our opinions are of AI, it is here. And so I'm using it to my advantage because I'm one person. And for those of you who don't know, I work with a lot of chronic pain, soft tissue pain. You know, I do exercise prescription. I do everything outside of a physical therapist. And, you know, I'm a human movement specialist. And so what I've done is I've taken everything that I do in the room to teach people, educate people how to become pain-free on their own. And you come to see me for the things that you cannot do. And so mine is putting my hands on you. I can do everything online. And there's these are things that your physician will not touch. Your PT, you know, you'll get some exercise prescription, but you never know what to do beyond the basics of that. And this is accessible 24/7. All you have to do is log on to 365painfree.ai. Ask me any question. For example, I have chronic shoulder pain, and I'm going to go into a consultation with you just the same as if you were sitting directly in front of me, and I'll say, you know, let's dive deeper into this. Tell me more. Upload a video. And all the expensive software we used to use in our sports performance labs at the universities, they're all embedded into this now. So I can plot movement. I can show you exactly where the imbalances in your movement are. And I can give you suggestions, prescriptions for exercise, stretches. And as long as it's within the scope of my practice, and it will tell you that as well. If it's not within the scope of my practice, we will refer you out and give you suggestions of who you need to see. But you have access to this at a cost of $27 a month that is 24/7, anytime you need it, no matter where you're at.
So this is all on Zoom, so you actually face-to-face time.
Not on Zoom. You have that option, but that's more than $27 a month. But this is, you can get on anytime, ask the questions, and you know, and my AI will talk to you, and you can print all this out. It'll give you instructions, pictures, demos, videos, you know, and you can follow up with this, you know, to see your progress throughout time. So, you know, the number of times I've gotten phone calls from people out of town, I woke up, I'm on a cruise, I can't move my neck, I've got the worst crick in my neck, what do I do? And I'll ask them, what do you have around you? What can we make into a tool that can help you to get out of this pain? Well, you don't have to call me anymore and hope to reach me. You can just log on and you can ask this question, and I'm going to help you through that.
Well, you know, there's so many chiropractic moves even that we can give to and perform with each other.
Well, I don't want to get into that because you shouldn't be doing that. And there's a lot of chiropractic moves that you can break somebody's neck.
Well, that's so true.
And you don't want to be responsible for your friend dying. So, so let's not do that.
Yeah.
But we're talking soft tissue. We're talking about things that you have control over.
What is some of your background? How did you learn all of this? Where did you get this from?
So
out of a book.
Well, no. I mean, it started with me being injured and, you know, and trying to find resources for myself to overcome a lot of this pain because your physician is not going to do this for you. And these days, your physicians are not going to put their hands on you anymore. It's either, you know, a medication or, you know, it sends you to PT. And what do you do with all the in between? And I'm everything in between. And I'm here to restore this functional movement and to help you live a healthier, more better quality of life. But I learned through the process of education in exercise science, sports and human movement, kinesiology, physiology, you know, in recreation and movement. It's collective knowledge over the years. My license in medical massage, doing soft tissue, you know, maneuver. But I worked for pro teams with the NFL. I used to work for the Atlanta Falcons, doing their therapy and seeing, you know.
And it was more than 1 year.
Yeah, it was chronic overuse syndrome. It was overtraining. It was, you know, weekend warriors doing too much too soon. And then what? And then your quality of life declines because you were trying to do the best thing for your body, exercise, do what you thought was right, and now you're injured. And now they tell you stay off of it. My mantra is motion is lotion. You got to keep moving. And I just show you the best way to do that because my goal is for you to have the best health and to have the best quality of life for as long as possible. And if I can do that remotely and I can educate you and teach you how to do this on your own, and you can do it at an affordable rate.
Okay.
But for the next 2 weeks, I have a beta testing. It's free. You can get on there for 2 weeks and try it out. Take a look at it. It's 365painfree.ai.
365painfree.ai.
Dot AI.
That's so bad. All right. And on the other side of the break, my tirade on Old Glory. I think you will enjoy it. I'm going to turn to Scuttlebutt.
coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
This past weekend on June the 14th, throughout our nation, folks gathered together to commemorate one of our national holidays. That's right, Saturday was a national holiday. But I bet most of you missed it. You see, Saturday was Flag Day, in honor and recognition of Old Glory. And don't get me started on just how tattered and worn our dear old flag has become under the current crew of politicians in the White House and on Capitol Hill these days. Needless to say, we have never been in greater need of this nation to rally around our national standard. But before I go too far down that rabbit hole, you see, people, many of them veterans, gathered together on the 14th to celebrate a holiday that is very important to our nation, but one, it seems, that has been forgotten by many. Hell, by most, if you look at that coverage on TV, and you don't hear of many Flag Day sales or get invited to many Flag Day barbecues, and yet we gather together each year to commemorate our national flag and to remember all that it means to us and to our nation. You know, maybe what is lacking in our celebration of Flag Day is not the celebration itself, but an honest and true understanding of just exactly what it is that we are celebrating. So Top Cat is now going to go all teacher on you. See if you can keep up, because I was around most of this time. On June the 14th, 1777, that was a good year, the Continental Congress, seeking to promote pride and unity in a fledgling nation, adopted the following. Resolved that the flag of the United States be 13 stripes, alternate red and white, that the Union be 13 stars, white in a blue field, representing a new constellation. The stars at that time represented Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maryland, South Carolina, New Hampshire, Virginia, New York, North Carolina, and Rhode Island. It is generally accepted that the flag that the Congress adopted was originally sewn by Betsy Ross and complete in late May or early June of 1776. However, the creation and composition of the national flag that we know today might not have occurred had it not been for a rather curious coincidence in the early days of the Revolutionary War. Earlier that year, on January the 1st, 1776, the Continental Army was recognized in accordance with a congressional resolution which placed American forces under George Washington's control, my buddy. And on that New Year's Day, the Continental Army was laying siege to Boston, which had been taken over by the British Army. Washington ordered the Grand Union flag, which had the British Union Jack in place of our current field of stars, hoisted above his base at Prospect Hill, in compliment of the United Colonies. In Boston, on that same New Year's Day, the Loyalist supporters of Britain had been circulating a recent King George speech offering the Continental forces favorable terms if they laid down their arms. These Loyalists were convinced that the King's speech had impressed the Continentals into surrendering. As a sign of the Continentals' surrender, the Loyalists mistook the flying of the Grand Union flag over Prospect Hill as a show of respect to King George. However, the Continentals knew nothing of the speech until later. Upon learning this, General Washington wrote in a letter dated January the 4th, "By this time, I presume they began to think it strange we have not made a formal surrender of our lines." Who says old George didn't have a sense of humor? But obviously a new flag was needed, and thus our national colors were born. As our nation had grown from its humble origins, our flag had remained a steadfast symbol of freedom throughout this world and rallying point for those who call this nation home. Perhaps the first words describing the meaning of our flag to an individual in time of war were penned in 1814 in the waters off of a besieged Fort McHenry by Francis Scott Key. As the smoke cleared from the fort and daylight came, he wrote, "The flag was still there." Of course, we now know his simple, heartfelt, handwritten poem as our national anthem. And for two centuries, now we have joined together to sing Key's words and pay respects to our flag, our men and women who have fought for and under the flag, and yes, those that have died protecting that for which it stands. In recognition of what the flag had meant to our nation, on June the 14th, 1916, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation calling for a nationwide observation of Flag Day. And so we still gather, though our numbers are few. as so many have done before us, to pay our respects to our flag and to remember what it has meant to each of us. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to come together in respect to celebrate our national standards, remembering the many sacrifices that have made our freedom possible. And it is necessary that we who have served under the flag in years past take the time to pass on just what it means to those who haven't served and for those yet to serve. One only needs to look to the mess into which our progressive politicians and the dedicated communists within our midst have allowed our nation to descend into an order to realize what had always made America exceptional. That exceptionalism is ours because of those who have served under this flag, that have fought and died so that others may live and live in freedom, not only from enemies abroad, but from the tyranny of a government of elites. That those who serve, maybe even more so because they serve as an all-volunteer military. Our brave men and women serve a higher cause than the meager paycheck that they get at the end of the month. They have and continue to fight for the principles, like duty, honor, country, and embodied by the flag. Contrast that with so many of the politicians that call themselves public servants, but who would truly like to see the American people as servants to their unchecked power. The politicians who spit on the Constitution and revile those patriots who fought for it. Those who bastardize the principles of freedom and liberty to abuse the American people and undermine our way of life. Those who have opened our borders to criminals and have looted our national treasure for their own enrichment. Those who would persecute patriots and encourage anarchists. Those who have sold our children and grandchildren into economic slavery without a second thought. I don't have to mention any names. You know them. But that is exactly why Old Glory is so special, because no phony baloney politician can steal from it what was earned with the blood and sacrifice of so many. And so I ask that each of you take a few moments with your children and grandchildren and tell them what the flag means to you and what it should mean to them, and hopefully one day to their children, should the flag still be there for them. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Oh, and congrats to the Army for 250 years.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, yeah! That's the fact, yeah!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom!
Veterans for the Veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines, with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, of course, you know, Tom, just so folks realize, that's a tirade on Old Glory from last year. So, obviously, the June 14th was not Saturday, and right. As I'm sure the doc out of the box will let us know, it's 251, not 250, which we recognized earlier. But, you know, Tom, the thing about going back to sort of the conversation we had about the Continental Army and the Declaration of Independence and all of that, and especially in light of sort of the climate of the tension that's in our nation today. You know, one thing we have to realize is that tension existed during the Continental Congress that eventually came up with the Declaration of Independence. It wasn't, you know, these were not folks that were all on board from the very beginning.
No,
there was
right.
There was contentious debate. But the beauty that is the American dream, I guess you could say, or the American experiment, is that we have the ability, regardless of whether or not you're born rich, poor, or in between, whether you're born in the North or the South or wherever, it's the ability to strive to be something better. And that flag, you know, Old Glory, has prompted more people to want to come to the United States of America.
Sure, sure.
But because, you know, you have to realize you know, there's nobody that's looking to leave America except for, like, Rosie O'Donnell. Thank you.
Yeah. She's still here.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, and she got a facelift.
Yeah.
Now she looks like Ralphie May. But somebody got that. But anyway, but no, you know, people aren't leaving our shores to go to Europe and Russia and elsewhere. Folks are still wanting to come here, and many of them have legitimate reasons to come here. And they want to go through the process, and they want to do it the right way because they want to be part of that American dream. And that's the folks that we need to continue to encourage to come here.
Amen.
Because those
yep.
are the ones that are going to pass.
Oh, Cal, it's not just the people who want to come here. I mean, my family is some of the oldest Appalachians in the United States. We were some of the poorest of the poor. And, you know, the reason I'm living the American dream is because I had an opportunity to serve in the United States military and to go to college because of the military and because of the service. You know, if it wasn't for this country, you know, I would be back there in those hills, undereducated and playing house. And,
right.
you know, and so this is about every American who has a dream to be more.
Right. And the name of your new program?
Name of my program is 365painfree.ai.
Thanks, Doc.